It's the Lee Rayburn Show, and when I say that the Wisconsin State Park System has about 125 unique properties, that's pretty impressive. But when I tell you that the State Natural Areas Program has almost 700, that ought to make you think twice. The State Park Program, we're probably all familiar with in one way or another, but the State Natural Areas Program, maybe not so much. So perhaps you have questions about this program that is actually turning 75 years old this year. If so, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or perhaps you've visited one of these state natural areas and you've got a favorite you'd like to share. After all, they're likely not to be as crowded as many of our state parks this time of year. You can also email us, talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour is Sarah Herrick, the State Natural Area Program Specialist at our Wisconsin DNR. And Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lee. Happy to be here.
So it's the 75th anniversary of our State Natural Areas program this year, but I understand that this happened long before 1950, or started at least long before 1951.
Yeah, so back in the early 20th century, like the 1930s, 1940s, some of the prominent early conservationists in Wisconsin, people like Aldo Leopold, botanist Norman Fassett, and Albert Fuller, and the plant ecologist John Curtis, they started to become concerned about basically the degradation of our native natural communities in Wisconsin. And they started talking about the importance of protecting our native natural communities. And so with their data and guidance, eventually they persuaded the Wisconsin legislature in 1951 to create the precursor to the State Natural Areas Program, which was called the State Board for the Preservation of Scientific Areas. And that that board, its mission was to locate and establish a system of natural areas that represented the wealth and variety of Wisconsin's natural communities for the purpose of education, research, and long-term protection.
With the likes of Aldo Leopold, it leads me to believe that this program was well ahead of its time, Sarah.
Yeah, this was the first program in the United States of this system of natural areas to protect natural communities and native biodiversity, and it's still the largest program in the country of state natural areas.
I was saying about 700 state natural areas. I believe the number I saw latest was 698?
Yeah, there's about 698 state natural areas located throughout the state. I think we have state natural areas in 70 of our 72 counties in Wisconsin. Not all of them are DNR properties. About 430 or so are actually DNR properties owned and managed by the department. And then the rest, 260 or so, are owned and managed by our state natural area partners. And our partners consist of land trusts like the Nature Conservancy, those types of organizations. The university owns some of our state natural areas. Local municipalities, counties, we have a variety of partners, over 60 partners who own and manage some of our state natural areas in cooperation with the department.
So considering where this program started and who it started with, what would you say is the mission of the State Natural Areas Program today, Sarah?
Yeah, so our mission, just as at the beginning of the program, is still to locate, protect, and manage the best examples of our native natural communities, as well as some of our significant geological features and some archaeological sites. What we want to do is have a good representation of our native biological landscape, our natural heritage, if you will, in Wisconsin. Just in case people don't know what I'm talking about when they're talking about natural communities, do you mind if I just...
No, please.
Okay. So natural communities are basically like assemblages of plants and animals that exist together and have mutual interactions. And in Wisconsin, ecologists have basically recognized more than 85 distinct natural communities. And they're in a few different categories. We have prairies, which I'm sure folks are familiar with, wet music prairies, dry prairies, music prairies. We have savanna and barrens, which are kind of also grasslands, but with scattered trees. Oak barrens and pine barrens are some of the ones that folks might have heard of before. We have a lot of diverse forest communities throughout the state, especially in our northern region. We have a variety of wetland and aquatic communities like bogs, fens, marshes, and lakes and streams. And then we also have some very specialized communities that aren't widespread, but they're very cool and interesting to visit.
We've got a desert.
Yes, we do. We have very dry sand prairies in some part in the southwest of our state where you can go and see eastern prickly pear growing. But some of our more specialized communities are like Great Lakes Dunes. Mm-hmm. We have shaded and dry cliff communities, alkaline rocky shores. So Wisconsin's natural heritage is a very diverse collection of native communities, and state natural areas are a great way for folks to learn about these and to get outside and visit some of these interesting places.
Sarah, what's the process from going to from a natural community in Wisconsin to becoming one of Wisconsin's many state natural areas?
Yeah, so first there's a process of evaluation. So to be considered for a state natural area, the area has to be an exceptional natural community. It has to be critical, like endangered or threatened species habitat, or as I mentioned earlier, significant geological feature, archaeological site. And then once there's an area that meets those criteria, we establish a state natural area in basically one of three ways. We direct acquisition by the SNA program. So
SNA?
An SNA, yes, state natural area.
Okay.
State natural area program, sorry.
That's all right.
We might purchase a parcel or purchase a conservation easement on a parcel where we purchase some of the rights to the parcel. Or we might get a donation from some of our partners, like the Nature Conservancy buys a parcel and then donates it to us. And then we sometimes designate a state natural area and other types of state properties. Like some of our state natural areas are actually embedded in state parks. So if you go to, like Devil's Lake, you can go to East Bluff State Natural Area, which is within that. So sometimes we just designate a really special area in one of our other types of state ownerships. And then sometimes, as I mentioned, if our partners acquire or own an area that's really special and meets the criteria for the State Natural Areas Program, we'll designate that area on their land. And basically, we enter into an agreement with them to designate that area as a state natural area and manage it to conserve the natural features and the natural communities on the property.
Sarah, what do we need in order to be able to visit one of these state natural areas?
So most state natural areas, the vast majority, are free to visit.
Okay.
You don't need anything. You just have to, we have a great website. You can go there. Every state natural area has its own little website that will give you an overview of what you might find there, how to get there, what the parking situation is. However, we do have a few, as I mentioned, that are embedded in state parks.
Okay.
And those state natural areas will require like a state park sticker.
Sure.
To get into. And then we have a few additional ones like Dells of the Wisconsin River that also require a state park sticker, as well as our state natural areas that are embedded in the Kettle Moraine State Forest.
Well, that makes sense. And we've got a list of all of the 698 designated state natural areas on our website. But to help you narrow it down, our guest Sarah Herrick has gone ahead and made some recommendations for you with her list of state natural areas. And you can find them all at WPR.org/Lee. And we'll get to some of those as our conversation continues. Sarah is the State Natural Area Program Specialist at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And you can join our conversation about our state natural areas by calling 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question, I believe Sarah will be able to answer it. You can also email us talk@WPR.org. What are the sizes of some of these state natural areas, Sarah? How small can they be and how big can they get?
Yeah, there's a wide variety. Our smallest state natural areas are less than 5 acres.
Wow.
So some really some of those really specialized communities that I was talking about. And they range up to just under 10,000 acres. So some really big sort of landscape scale complexes of different communities that are really special. So there's a huge range, but they average about in the middle of there, like a few hundred acres. So often they're smaller than like state parks.
Sure. One of the largest on your list is the Quincy Bluff and Wetlands in Adams County, Sarah.
Yeah, Quincy Bluff is one of our largest properties. It's a large complex landscape scale of.
That's all right. I'm guessing it's got bluffs and wetlands because it's in the title.
Yes, it's a landscape scale natural area. It has a huge mosaic of communities, northern wet and wet music forests, northern and southern sedge meadow. There's shrub car, there's pine barrens, there's sand prairie. It also has these huge sandstone buttes that rise out of the bed of it's on the former Glacial Lake Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
Which was a large prehistoric lake that was caused by the Green Bay lobe of the last Laurentide glaciation, basically damming the Wisconsin River at that time up against the Baraboo Hills. And so it formed this large, flat, sort of sandy area. And then interestingly, it had a catastrophic drainage about 14,000 years ago. And that's when the dells of the Wisconsin River are formed. So
oh, wow.
If you've ever gone to Wisconsin Dells or the dells of the Wisconsin River State Natural Area and seen those rock formations, they were formed during that catastrophic drainage. But Quincy Bluff was basically the bed of the Glacial Lake Wisconsin, which covered basically all of central Wisconsin about 18,000 to 14,000 years ago, and had these remaining like sort of sandstone buttes that rise out of the bed. So there's you know, overlooks, so you can see the scenery. There's forest communities, there's wetland communities. It's a great place for birding, grassland birds and butterflies. It's just a really great site.
And you've made this geological historical connection from Adams County all the way to the Wisconsin Dells. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Let's get to some of your suggestions now at 1-800-642-1234 for our state natural areas celebrating their 75th anniversary this year. And we'll start with Rose in Appleton. Rose, hi.
Hi.
I'm loving
this program. My husband and I love going to all the different Wisconsin parks, but I want to say one of our favorite areas is Parfrees Glen, and it's just such a little gem. It's like walking into a different world. There's so much different flora and fauna in there, and it's like in a little canyon, and it's so special.
I appreciate that because you might be interested to know, Rose, and I thank you for the call. It's also on Sarah's list of recommended state natural areas as one of the scenic vistas and geological features that you should probably take the time to go visit, and that's in Sauk County.
Yeah, And it's also interesting to note, given that this is the 75th anniversary, that Parfrees Glen was actually the very first state natural area.
Oh, wow. Was this right out of the gate in 1951?
Yep. So it's been a state natural area for a long time. It is very special. If you go there, the rock formations, it's very geologically important. It's got a lot of interesting plants because of the sort of cool microenvironments in the gorge. And you can walk the trail in the summer or the winter. And in the winter, it's quite interesting. Bring hiking poles because it can be slick, but it's quite interesting to see all the ice formations in there. And it's a really great and special place. Obviously, since it was our first our first state natural area.
Yeah, and it evidently it's worth a trip for Rose from Appleton to go down to Sauk County to see it and experience it. And I guess I'd overlooked these state natural areas for some time. At least I don't necessarily think of them in the same context that I think of our state parks. But I think when it comes to the natural beauty of Wisconsin, they're on the same level, Sarah. It's this kind of the same thing, maybe a little bit smaller, maybe sometimes inside these state parks.
They're definitely, some of them are in the state parks, but they're a little different than state natural or than state parks because you won't find quite the level of infrastructure at state natural areas for the most part that you find at state parks. Parfrees Glen is one exception. There's bathrooms there. There's a parking lot. There's a trail. Partly because it's also one of our busier state natural areas. So in that case, we have a trail to direct people where they should go there. But a lot of the state natural areas don't have infrastructure like bathrooms. There might not be developed trails. So you might see some trails where you can tell where people go most of the time when they're there, but they're not as developed as like Parfrees. There's sometimes parking is along the road. There might not be parking lots. So when people go to state natural areas, which they definitely should, they shouldn't expect to see quite the same level of like infrastructure and development as they see at state parks.
But for many, that could be exactly what they're looking for.
Yes, definitely.
The more nature, the better.
Right.
Rose, thanks again for the call. We've got another suggestion next from Jan in Madison. Hi, Jan.
Hi there. I would like to recommend one natural area, which is the Olson Oak Woods, which is connected to the Madison School Forest. That is, part of it is managed by the DNR, and I used to work in the school forest as a naturalist to take kids along the trails. In the Olson Oak Woods, there is a path for somebody that would need assistance in walking, for instance, a wheelchair.
Sure.
There are lots of walking areas. There's a map on the at the beginning and all of that. And at one point, we dated an oak tree that was a double oak on that had fallen off of a single root system in the 1490s.
1490s? So,
Yeah, way long time ago. So that you know, it's a really special spot for me, but I think it's also connected to some of the Ice Age Trail places.
Oh, so. Perfect, Aunt Jan. And I did not know about the Olson Oak Woods, and it's right here in my backyard, Sarah.
Yeah, Olson Oak Woods is a nice one. It's partially owned by DNR and partially by the Madison School District. It's also called the Madison School Forest sometimes. And it's a good one for folks to visit because it does have like some pretty clearly defined trails. It's also more accessible than some of our other state natural areas, as far as like if you have any mobility devices or anything, the trails are pretty wide and flat. And so it's a great place to visit if you're around here and you want to get out and you don't, you know, necessarily feel comfortably, you know, just walking off trail and stuff. There's some interpretive information. So it's a really great It's a really great place for people to get started visiting state natural areas.
And also an education, and it will make you think a little bit when you come across an old oak tree that dates back to the 1490s.
Yeah, definitely.
Because in elementary school, the old rhyme is in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and then you find an oak here from 1490, and it makes you think, Sarah.
Yeah, definitely.
Jan, thank you so much for the call. Here's an email from Bill in Oregon. He's been visiting the Spring Green State Natural Area for over 20 years now, among many others. At some point over the last decade, this hidden gem has become more popular, for better or worse, says Bill, and was renamed a Spring Green Preserve. He's hoping that Sarah can offer some insight into the changes that occurred that led to the rebranding. Is it better protected under this new designation? What do you know, Sarah?
I'm not really sure about the level of protection. This Spring Green Preserve is a really interesting site. It's another one of our very dry, arid sand prairie sites where you can see prickly pear in Wisconsin. It's actually one of our partner-owned sites. It's owned by the Nature Conservancy. And I think they've been managing it quite a bit over the years with fire to like restore the dry sand prairie. There and also on the ridgetop, there's an oak woods, and like many of our state properties, especially since COVID, there has been an increase in visitation to some of them. Especially the Spring Green Preserve is close to Madison. A lot of people know about it. It's not far off the highway there. And so one change you might see at some of these sites that are busier are more signs about staying on the trail, more developed trails, things because the priority at state natural areas isn't really recreation. It's more resource protection. So if we have a site that's being visited more often, you might see some development of trails and stuff to try to focus the use and preserve those sensitive parts of the property.
Recreation was not part of the mission, Sarah, and yet it does seem to be part of the result of the mission itself of conservation.
Right. So unlike state parks, recreation is not a huge part of the state natural area mission. It's conservation of the natural communities, restoration of some of the natural communities, but obviously the public is definitely free to go there and engage in low impact recreation, like hiking, nature viewing. That's great for birding, things like that. We don't have bike trails. A lot of motorized recreation isn't allowed at state natural areas, like ATVs and things like that. We really prioritize protection of the natural communities or the natural features that are found there so that people can enjoy them in as close to their natural state as possible.
Yeah, as Bill emails alludes to, we don't just go there, Sarah. We're drawn there because of what these state natural areas have created, what they've fostered and what they protect, that in some way we go there or are drawn there to be a part of that, to feel that, and to go back to the call about the Olson Oak Woods, to take ourselves back in time and get away from it all, but also find some deep roots there as well that could be our own sometimes. I think there's something profound about this that I hadn't thought about before, and that obviously our callers and emailers have, and I'm sure you have as well. Sarah Herrick is our guest, the State Natural Area Program Specialist at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. We are looking back on the first 75 years, and we should look ahead to the next 75 years of this program. Began in 1951. Now with 698 at last count, state natural area properties, and in 70 of 72 counties, as Sarah relays, what's your favorite state natural area? What do you want to know before you go? You can join our conversation at 1-800 800-642-1234. And we'll take a tour of some of those when we continue. You can also send us an email to talk@WPR.org, whether it's Wisconsin's desert, our boreal forests, our carnivorous plants, other old growth trees, places for leaf peepers and paddling. We'll find all of those in our state natural areas next. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News. It's the Lee Rayburn Show, and after 75 years of the Wisconsin State Natural Area Program, you will now find designated natural areas in 70 of 72 counties. In total, there are almost 700 of them, comprising almost 400,000 acres of land. And yet, when you take it all into consideration, that's just about 1% of the acreage of Wisconsin. Do you have a favorite state natural area, or do you have questions about visiting one? You have something in mind, and we can find the state natural area for you with our guest, Sarah Herrick. You can give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Always email talk@WPR.org. And Sarah is the state natural area program specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Sarah, what do you see as the big successes in the first 75 years of this program?
I think just the level of protection of the natural communities that we've been able to affect. I mean, we've obviously able to designate close to 700 state natural areas. And even though that doesn't represent a huge amount of land compared to the amount of land in Wisconsin, it's really a good representation of, you know, the diverse communities that we have here. And so, you know, we have basically, you can visit an estate natural area for any type of community that you're interested in seeing. And I think just preserving those for the people of Wisconsin and is a huge success for our program.
How is this program doing in protecting our endangered and threatened species?
Good. I mean, we have, like I said, a relatively small amount of land for compared to, you know, the area of Wisconsin, but 90% of our rare plant species and about 75% of our rare wildlife species can be found on state natural areas. So we've really been successful in preserving those species and habitats that they need to continue to exist here in the state.
From your point of view, what more could this program do? Could it get more acreage? Would that be a benefit? Could it protect more endangered and threatened species? Would that be a goal? What would you like to see this program do as it continues, Sarah?
I think that, you know, if something special is, there's something special out there that needs protection, we definitely want to do that, or we want to work with our partners to do that. One of our big successes have been building the partnerships that we've built to protect areas outside of what the DNR can do. And so going forward, I think continuing to do that and build those partnerships, but also, you know, focusing resources on managing some of our more rare communities. A lot of our grassland communities are basically a fraction of a percentage of what they were at pre-settlement. So our prairies, our savannas, and those communities also take quite a few resources to manage because they're disturbance-dependent communities. So they need things like fire. And so, you know, our program is a relatively small program. And so we do the best we can, but but we need a lot of resources to manage some of that. So I think putting resources into management of some of our disturbance-dependent communities, and this is a good time for me to say that you can volunteer to help manage state natural areas. We have a very robust volunteer program. If you go to our website, you can find out about volunteer opportunities, which range from joining a work party one day at a state natural area or becoming a state natural area steward, where if there's a state natural area in your area that needs a steward, you can become the steward. You can help organize work parties for that state natural area. And so, that our volunteer program is a huge part of our ability to manage those communities. But I think, I think management of those disturbance-dependent communities is probably one of our biggest challenges moving forward.
So, it's a relatively small program. It relies on volunteers and those that love these state natural areas. And a question that often comes up most recently when we talk about Wisconsin's natural areas is the expiration of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Does that impact your program at all, Sarah?
Yeah, I would say that our primary mechanism for acquiring land is through the Nelson Stewardship Fund. So with that program expired, we most likely will not be purchasing any land to add to state natural areas in the foreseeable future. We still have, partnerships. We get donations sometimes of important parcels, but the expiration of the stewardship program greatly impacts our ability to acquire land in the state natural areas program.
Are there other areas in Wisconsin that would be, in your mind, deserving of protection through this program?
I don't have anything specific off the top of my head, but we have some very ecologically rich areas in the state, and that is... those are areas where you also tend to see a lot of our state natural areas. I mean, we have them everywhere, but you're going to find high concentrations of them in certain areas like the Door Peninsula, Lower Wisconsin River Valley, the Northern Highland, which is a area in the northeast part of the state, the Kettle Moraine Forest and Baraboo Hills, and also along like the Mississippi and St. Croix Rivers. So those areas are really ecologically rich. There's probably more protection that we can do there, or we can work with our partners to do. But that's also, there's high concentrations of state natural areas in those zones as well.
David called and couldn't stay with us. Do you have a place where we could get a paper or offline copy of all of our state natural areas, Sarah?
We don't, unfortunately, have a hard copy publication that lists all of our state natural areas. So I primarily direct people to our website, which if you can access, and I understand not everyone has access to the internet, but it's really very good, and you can get a lot of information for specific state natural areas. Sorry about that. We don't have a hard copy publication.
David, there is, if you get access to the internet, you can go to WPR.org/Lee for the link of not just the state natural areas from our DNR, but also Sarah's state natural areas recommendations list, which we'll have to get to. But first, let's go to an important question from Brad in Jefferson. Brad, hi.
Hey, Lee. Thanks for taking my call. So how would a landowner that thinks that they may have an area... for this program, who would they contact? How is their land evaluated? That sort of thing. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for calling, Brad. It cut out a little bit there, but has some land and would be interested in knowing how he could turn it into a state natural area with your help, Sarah.
Yeah. So our first step in that would be evaluating, the community, and also how it would fit into our program. So I would advise someone to make contact with local staff. So our state natural areas are managed by a local district ecologist, and there's about, I think, seven of them. I don't have the map in front of me around the state. And if the caller would like to contact me, I can put them in touch. So we would take a look at it and evaluate it based on the criteria I talked about earlier, to see if it might meet the requirements of our program. And then, you know, how, if it met the requirements of our program and we wanted to designate it, how that would work as far as making an agreement with the owner or acquiring it somehow, or one of our partners acquiring it.
I was just thinking about, you know, whether or not the Nature Conservancy would also play a role in something like this, as they often do with land donation.
Yeah, and we have very few state natural areas that are owned by just private individuals. It does happen, but most of them are owned by an organization or like a land trust or a municipality or a university. But it's not out of the question, and we would just have to take a look at it and see if it would, you know, meet our requirements.
And when you say community, again, you're not talking about the people around. You're talking about the nature that's around.
Yes, I mean the natural community, like the assemblage of plants and animals that, you know, exist together. And also, you know, and also maybe it's an interesting geological formation. So we take a look at that as well.
Brad, thank you for the call. So let's get to some of these that's on your list, Sarah. And I want to start with the desert, because this is the one that I feel I'm most interested in, the Wisconsin desert. Really? The Blue River Barrens in Grant County?
Yeah, so Blue River Sand Barrens. It's one of our largest and best examples of this this harsh and arid ecological community. It's like a desert. There's sand. It's upland community. The dunes can be unstable, so the sand moves around, and sometimes we have these blowouts, like these sand areas that have blown out. And they tend to be found along rivers like the Mississippi or the Wisconsin River. But they're a great place to go to see plants that are adapted to those dry conditions. And most notably, our Wisconsin cactus, the eastern prickly pear, can be found there, and it's a good place to see it. And if you go in like mid to late June, you might see the prickly pears blooming, which is kind of a treat. So
yeah. Matthew emailed us, are there any state natural areas that have a population of blue ash that you know of?
Let's see. I think there may have been, I don't know that off the top of my head. I think there's a state natural area in southeastern Wisconsin that has blue ash. And I don't know off the top of my head.
I do not expect you to know all 698 of these state natural areas.
Yes.
But there is a state natural area in southeast Wisconsin where you would probably find the blue ash being protected.
Yes, I think there is a state natural area, and I'm not sure if it's in like Racine or Kenosha or one of those counties down there, where I believe there is a population of blue ash. And I can look it up later and follow up, but I don't know it off the top of my head. Sorry about that.
Mark called, couldn't stay with us. He wanted to give a shout out to the Town of Union Conservancy outside of Eau Claire. Do you work with them at all, Sarah?
That is not a partner that I'm familiar with, but like I say, we have 60 of them. And,
I don't expect you to know all 60 either.
Yes,
off the top of your head, but it goes to how many people it takes to have a success in this program that is 75 years in the making. And it goes to where we stand today without the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund and what that may mean going forward for the success of this program. It goes to the diversity of our natural communities in Wisconsin, from the desert to the blue ash and all points in between. But it also goes to a commitment of the people to protect this land that dates back before this program started with the likes of Aldo Leopold and continues today with the likes of you, Sarah, and everybody else who's informed me about our state natural areas. So I think it's a lot to think about with these little plots of land that hold so much for so many people and have for so long, but also the question about what will it hold in the years to come.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of, to the caller's question, there's a lot of great organizations in Wisconsin that are doing conservation work outside of the state natural areas program, you know, conserving local plots of parcels of land that folks in that area can visit. And, you know, I'm not familiar with the one the caller mentioned, but I'm sure they're doing great work. And there's a lot of small organizations like that across the state who are really contributing to conservation in Wisconsin.
And as you mentioned, the volunteers who make it go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sarah Herrick, our guest, the State Natural Area Program Specialist at our Wisconsin DNR. And we've got a link of her recommended state natural areas online at WPR.org/Lee, as well as the DNR's list of all 700 of them. But we thought we'd whittle it down since it's they're in 70 of 72's Wisconsin counties. And you can join our conversation with your favorite state natural area or questions about the program, past, present, or future at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Rebecca and Madison emailed us to share the Oakfield State Natural Area. It's the largest exposure of the Niagara Escarpment in Wisconsin, she says. Fantastic geologically with some rare plants you can find. Early spring, summer is the best time to go, Sarah.
Yeah. Oakfield Ledge is a great example of the Niagara Escarpment, which is a geological formation that runs through Wisconsin, through the Door Peninsula, up around the Great Lakes into upstate New York. And it's got a lot of great natural communities. It tends to be some very interesting plants and rare land snails. And the Oakfield Ledge is a great place to see it. It's a very cool state natural area.
Rare land snails.
Yeah, they're not easy to find, but like the Niagara Escarpment is a hotbed of rare snails.
I love that. And Rebecca, thank you for the suggestion. Sarah, if we were to go for, say, leaf peeping this fall, would you have a state natural area that you would recommend, or perhaps a few of them?
Yeah. So I would say that a lot of our state natural areas are great for looking at fall leaves. Some that I would highlight would be the Norse Sugarbush in Bayfield County. It's an old growth northern mesic forest on the northwest side of Mount Ashwaubay, which is just outside of Bayfield. It's a pretty steep sided hill, and it's about 700 feet above Lake Superior. It's all forested, so you get a great view and vistas, a lot of maple component to the forest. So the fall colors there are really spectacular. Other would be Rennick Pollock Maple Beech Woods in Racine County. Mm-hmm. It's an outstanding example of like a southern mesic forest. And some wet mesic forest, and there's an intermittent stream that runs through it. This one doubles as like a spectacular display of spring wildflowers, and that's in Racine County, I should say.
Yeah.
So it's a great place to see the fall colors, and then return in the spring to see the spring ephemerals.
Sarah, can I ask you what makes a forest a mesic forest? Because I just hear song.
Oh, mesic, sorry, M-E-S-I-C. So terms like mesic and xeric they refer to the moisture regime of the forest. So a mesic is like a little bit more moist. You know, wet mesic is even a little bit wetter. Dry mesic is a little bit drier. And then like you get into like the xeric soil types, which are like the Wisconsin desert,
yes.
The sand prairie, very dry. So those terms just refer to sort of the moisture gradient of the various sites, and that has a big impact on what species and communities can be found there. So
Renee in Sauk City called, couldn't stick around, but of the 70 with state natural areas in 70 of 72 counties, do you know offhand which two counties do not have a state natural area?
Yes. Yeah, so one of them is Kewaunee County. I'm not sure why there's not a state natural area there, but it might be because Kewaunee County borders Door County, and Door County has a very high concentration of really special areas and state natural areas. The other one is Menominee County, and Menominee County is the Menominee Nation reservation, and they I'm sure there's some very special areas there. They're known for They're huge trees, but we don't have any designated state natural areas in that county.
But there is conservation happening and protection happening and land management happening as it has since before. That old double oak tree at the Olson Oak Woods. I wanted to ask about the spring colors. You mentioned one that had both leaf for leaf peepers and one for spring wildflowers. Think spring here for me, Sarah, and tell me where the state natural areas are to hit up the best spring flowers.
Yeah, so one that off the top of my head, Telex Hill Woods, that's in Waupaca County. It's an old growth northern music forest. And it's known for an abundance of spring ephemerals. So lots of woodland flowers, spring beauties, Dutchman's breeches, blue cohosh, trilliums. It's a great place to visit in the spring. It also has some large trees, but it's just known for like a very abundant spring ephemeral bloom, similar to McIlvra Woods in Sauk County. They have 110 species of plants in their ground floral layer, so very diverse, a great display of spring ephemerals. There's a bunch of them. So Plover River Woods in Marathon County. It's a wet music forest, a lot of white cedar, but in May it's just carpeted with, ephemeral spring flowers. Yellow River Icewald Lake Plain in Taylor County is another example. So many.
It's not just land that the state natural areas protect. There are some waterways as well. So I'd imagine there could be some paddling that would be that you could do through some of these state natural areas.
Yeah, definitely. There are definitely some areas that are great for a short paddle most of the time. So one of them in southern Wisconsin in Grant County, Snow Bottom State Natural Area. It's about a 5.5 mile paddle, and it's the Blue River winds through the state natural area. So it's a great way to see that state natural area. Day Lake in Vilas County. It's an exceptionally clear lake. It's about about 6 feet deep. And so it's got a lot of interesting and unusual aquatic plants because of the acidic water, very sandy bottom. And so it's a great place to just paddle around. You can see into the water. You can explore the plants. Other examples, as I mentioned earlier, the dells of the Wisconsin River.
Sure.
Which were carved by Glacial Lake Wisconsin's catastrophic drainage. This is a great way to see this state natural area. You paddle the Wisconsin River through these huge sandstone rock formations, and it's actually one of the best ways to see that state natural area. One of my personal favorites is Bark Bay Slough in Bayfield County. It's a slough of Lake Superior, and it's got like a bogs and like wetland, and then you can paddle out to this sand barrier beach on Lake Superior, and so it's easy paddling in the slough, but you can reach Lake Superior, so it's really, and it's got interesting plants like carnivorous plants like pitcher plant and stuff can be found there. And
And again, Sarah's full list, we won't get to them all, WPR.org/Lee. She's highlighted some of her favorites for you there, as well as the reasons why. And Sarah, with about a minute we have left here, you said you could volunteer to support these state natural areas. Are there other things that we can be doing?
Yeah, so the bureau I work for, the Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation, you could get an endangered resources license plate. That's one of our major sources of funding for our program. You could also do the Endangered Resources Fund tax checkoff on your tax form. We get our program gets funding from that source. And then aside from fiscal funding, as I mentioned earlier, you can become an SNA volunteer, and we have a Our webpage has a lot of information about joining work parties, becoming an SNA State Natural Area Steward, and other ways you can help us out.
Do I need to know the difference between a music forest and a music forest to be in order to volunteer?
You do not have to have any special knowledge or equipment. We will someone will be there to help you know what to do. We'll have the equipment that you need. So I definitely encourage everyone to get out and volunteer for the state natural areas, or to do, we have one of our partners, the Natural Resource Foundation. Every year they have something like 250 field trips.
Ooh.
that you can join and lots of them go to state natural areas.
Sarah, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today, and happy 75th anniversary.
Yeah, thank you so much for letting me share about the state natural areas today.
I learned a lot. Sarah Herrick, the State Natural Area Program Specialist at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Thanks to our team for making it all possible today. Joel Pattenaud, Clara Neipert, Jill Nadeau, and Jeff Robbins. Thanks to you for being a part of the show. We'll be back again tomorrow from 11 to 1 right here. Oh, I'm Lee Rayburn. This is WPR News.